Hello, hello, welcome back. And today I just wanted to jump right into reading straight out of the Bible. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. It's that wonderful series of verses that references the cheerful giver. And here we go. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will provide thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ, and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. How many times have we heard that prayed, God loves a cheerful giver, at every church service when a collection is being made, whether it's a love offering or it's the tithe tray that goes up and down the rows? And in your heart, there's one motivation that we should have in giving, and that's to acknowledge that it's all His. 100% of everything we have that we earn through our businesses, our work, our labor, inheritances, whatever it is you have that's coming in, is a gift from God. Giving back a tithe is a great starting point. It's all His though. Picture you giving one of your children, if you have children, or maybe a loved one, a huge jug of those peppermint candies, the ones we've all seen that come from the big box stores. I mean, this thing is huge. It's like a tiny keg of peppermint candies. Somewhere between 500 and 700 pieces, singly wrapped, individually wrapped peppermint candies. You give that to your loved one, and then extend your hand out to that loved one that you gave. You just gave it to them out of love, and you asked, let's say if it was a pack of 500, you just wanted 10%. You wanted 1/10 back. Boy, the look you just might get from that loved one of, what do you mean? You just gave this all to me, it's mine, can't you see? And now you want part of it back? Well, I'm making this example here maybe a little too elementary, but who's to say that that is not the same thing that God sees? Wait a minute, I've given all of you everything you have, the very air that you breathe, the beating of your heart. I made that. I put that there. I'm the one that makes it go. I'm the one that makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust. I'm the one that hung the stars and named them all and numbered every single one of the hairs on your head. So let's look at tithing a little more than just, okay, it's a cheerful way to get back because God wants us to. Boy, I've really tried to change the way I look at tithing. I feel like the rest of the leftover money beyond the tithe is the part that He's allowing me to have. The minimum to give back for so much in return, that's quite a deal. And yet the Bible is very clear on how if we tithe, and if we do these things that we're called to do, follow His commandments, the commandments of Jesus, in that wonderful gospel He gave us, when we do those things, we inherit something more than just monetary things. Now you're delving into the supernatural, the things unseen, the heavenly treasures. What do we treasure? Is it our self-reliance? Is it the things we've achieved? Those are the questions that I fuss with every single day. And I'm trying daily to come up with biblical answers through God's holy and inerrant word that will help me to understand more about Him. So this goal of this journey, this walk, this entire meaning of life, I believe, can be reduced to a somewhat simple, almost, maybe even never could it ever be attained, goal. My transformation, my regeneration, my rebirth, my 180 degree turn on the path I was on, all those things should lead to me becoming more like Jesus daily. I know that's huge. It's overwhelming. Like I said, maybe 100% unattainable. Maybe the best of us could get to 99. Wow, that'd be saying a whole lot. Maybe 10%. But our walk, our journey, people should look at our lives and see Jesus. They should see the things we do and the things we value be rooted in those commands that He gave us in His gospel. Tough to do, but just by tuning in to radio shows like this one and others on BPN Radio, you're making that active choice to filter out some of the things of the world and focus on godly things. I actually had a point last night where I couldn't sleep, and that's unusual for me, and I could just tell God wanted me to pick up His word and read. And I was thinking, okay, well, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. That could be a 2-hour ordeal or a 20-minute ordeal. Maybe sometimes it's a minute because that notepad I have falls out of my hand and I go right to sleep. And I was in 2 Kings. And I got through about 30 minutes of it before I was able to go back to sleep. But more time in the Word is what we all need. It will benefit us daily. Choices, the music we listen to, the television shows that we watch, all make a huge impact on our walk and our transformation into becoming more like Christ, more like Jesus. And if that's what we're striving for, helping others, loving everyone like we want to be loved, showing the Father that we do know His commands, and that we did hear the message, that we can hear the shepherd's call, the call of our Heavenly Father. Those are the treasures that we can seek here on earth that will serve us very well when we reach heaven to be with our Heavenly Father and to see the face of Jesus. I also wanted to jump over and speak a little bit out of James chapter 4. It's got a subtitle here in the ESV that says, "Warning Against Worldliness." What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, "He yearns jealously over the Spirit that He has made to dwell in us, but He gives us more grace." Therefore it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me repeat that. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Whoa. Repeat that. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Oh boy, these are the promises. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. So, of course, Those are some heavy words. Heavy, and oh boy, gonna read from that. Well, that's the doom and gloom. Listen to the promises that are contained in that gloom and doom. If gloom and doom was all that we ever heard, is all that you ever heard when you read the Bible, and you find it offensive, that's not a good thing. We need to work on accepting, you and I need to work on accepting God's word as truth, and that we need to change ourselves to match it. Our prayers should never be to have God change his ways. Our prayers should always be for us to change our ways, to submit to his will. So let's pray about that until we speak again in a week. It's time for some music. And don't forget that sweet little part out of James 4 today. One of the sweetest things I could ever hear is that we're to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. This is a glorious, perfect God, our God, the only God. And getting close to him brings a whole lot of light and glory to us. Our flesh, we can't possibly stand that type of glory and holiness coming toward us without it changing us. And that's a beautiful thing. Make that your mind picture of the day as you're calling out to God, praying that God would come close. And through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, he does make himself available to us. But as he draws closer, when we draw closer to him, remember what happened to Moses when he came off the mountain and his face was still glowing from his time with God. These are literal descriptions of what happens when we come into his presence. It's overwhelming and it's awesome. How could it be that that has been made possible for us to experience? So in our greatest times of need, we call out to God. Are we there to call on him when everything is a-okay? Do you call out to him when you've had the perfect day? Do you call out to him when you have the perfect day? Again, it's time for music. So have a great week. Pray to God daily. Get in your Bible. Spend some time in the Word. Just start off with something. A minute, 10 minutes. And start your change today.
Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols. And jerk the pews and all the decorations too. Until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what he has in store. And know the great is your reward. So just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Take a break from all the plans that you have made and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. Beg him please to open up his mouth and speak and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine a light you've heard until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can. Yes, you can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. We must not worship something that's not even worth it. Clear the stage, make some space for the one who deserves it. And anything I put before my God is an idol. And anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything all my love is an idol, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to and still get it wrong. Is more than a song.
say that every nation shout of your fame. Yes, Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, we'll be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come, oh Jesus.